Welcome back. The Winter Olympics kicked off with the opening ceremony taking place today at the Beijing National Stadium. It's the second Olympics to take place during the pandemic, but at this Winter Olympics in China, athletes and other attendees are facing much stricter virus restrictions. Dr. James Simmons, hospitalist nurse practitioner in Los Angeles, California, joins us now for this and more. Dr. Simmons, thank you so much for coming back on with us. We've been hearing about strict health monitoring restrictions, sanitation efforts in China leading up to and now during the Olympics. Is this kind of a no tolerance policy on COVID sustainable or even helpful at this point in the pandemic?
Yeah, it's a really tough question, and it's something that China has really sort of tried to double down on, even in the midst of these Olympics right now. And, you know, the brilliant Dr. Michael Osterholm actually had an opinion piece in the New York Times, or excuse me, the Washington Post recently, identifying, along with Dr. Emmanuel, how China's zero COVID policy that they've instituted since the beginning is actually unfortunately setting them up for making the pandemic last even longer, or having, unfortunately, what would amount to a second pandemic, you know, inside of China's borders. Right now, if you look at what's going on in China, you know, they've had approximately only 6,000 deaths. If you look at a population of nearly 1.3 billion, that's incredible, particularly compared to the more than 860,000 deaths that we've had, unfortunately, here in the United States. However, when you really dig in and you really look at what's going on, you know, the vaccines that are being administered in China are not showing very much efficacy against Omicron at all, and less efficacy against previous variants than some of the other vaccines, like the mRNA vaccines derivatives that we have here in the United States. And so you have an entire population who, those who have been vaccinated, have vaccines that are not performing very well, at least in the laboratory environment, against Omicron. And you have a population that hasn't been exposed. You don't have much prior infection immunity either. So what you've effectively ended up setting up is a massive population of individuals who are still really susceptible to multiple different variants of this virus. So while, you know, the numbers right now might look okay, you know, a lot of experts are really, really concerned that going forward, there could be a huge, massive outbreak in a country like China that has tried to do this zero COVID policy so far with, you know, questionable benefits, but maybe their long-term impact of this could be significant.
Is that an equation that would unfortunately breed a stronger variant coming out of the region?
Sure. I think anywhere, you know, on the entire planet, frankly, where there are individuals who are not vaccinated, don't have prior immunization from prior infection, you know, where there could potentially be breeding variants. You know, I think it's really important for people to recognize that these variants don't happen linearly. So Omicron is not actually a mutation of Delta, right? We sort of think of, we've heard of Alpha, and then there was Gamma and a couple of others that were sort of hidden there. And then Delta caused a lot of, you know, unfortunately, illness and death globally. And then Omicron, that didn't happen linearly. Omicron is actually a mutation of one of the Alpha subvariants. So are there other potential opportunities for Delta to have subvariants that are maybe as contagious as Omicron or some of the other variants that we have, another offshoot of Alpha? I mean, when we have completely failed the entire global public health system in terms of having, you know, wealthier nations like ours essentially swimming in vaccines, and we have other nations, you know, where vaccine rates are somewhere between 2% and 5% right now. And in a place like China, where the vaccines aren't working as well, you have a really susceptible population, and it leaves all of us susceptible to, you know, mutations and potential new variants.
Dr. Simmons, you're based in Los Angeles. LA County public health officials this week have said that they're looking at easing masking requirements at crowded outdoor events once virus-related hospitalizations fall below 2,500 for 7 consecutive days. Now, the hospitalization rate is currently above about 3,300, but falling. What do you think of that proposed threshold for starting to ease these masking requirements?
This is a complicated conversation, you know, I think for all of us, you know, obviously those of us included here in LA County, because, you know, we are trend, particularly with something like Omicron, cases probably don't matter as much because it's just so incredibly contagious. But we trend hospitalizations and deaths, right? So as we get hospitalizations that fall to a manageable level where we're not overwhelming the healthcare system like we currently are, where the hospitals are not being overwhelmed so much and we can handle it, then we can then accept that risk of individuals potentially being exposed in a maskless environment, right? So lifting the mask mandates. This does sort of come to a larger moral question, which maybe this is not necessarily the platform to discuss this, but you know, we're able to manage this from a hospitalization standpoint, but we still have individuals out there who are immunocompromised, who are really susceptible to this. You know, I think the narrative has been, you know, Omicron is much milder. It's not something you should worry about. And that's true for a lot of folks who are triple vaccinated, at least, and otherwise probably young and healthy. But in my hospital where I'm practicing now, the Omicron variant is still killing people. If they are immunocompromised or if they have some really significant underlying health conditions, this is not a completely benign variant by any stretch of the imagination. So while, yes, we also have to keep the economy going, we have to, people's mental health is a very significant, you know, sort of secondary sequela of this pandemic. It's something that we have to take for granted, you know, and we can't take for granted. We have to take into account, you know, it concerns me a little bit that when we get below a number of hospitalizations that we lift the mask mandates. But I also understand on the other hand that, you know, large crowded events where people have to be vaccinated, the likelihood of transmission is very, very low. So as long as I think we're listening to the data that's driving us in terms of hospitalizations and death rates, it's probably going to be acceptable. I'd imagine that we may even hit that number here in the next few weeks.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Dr. James Simmons, hospitalist nurse practitioner in Los Angeles, California. We thank you so much for your time and have a great weekend.